woke up tomorrow, just imagine you woke up tomorrow, whatever it is you're struggling with in your life, a decision, a problem, a goal, indecision, feeling stuck, kind of vanished, went away. How would your life be different? I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. You know, we believe in Christ. Every problem has a solution. Every goal has a direction, a path. And you know, every decision you need to make or want to make can have an answer in Christ. Boy, it's powerful. Intentional Living. We just want to help you think about it, give you some thoughts, help you sort this through. And because we want you to be able to live a life as God intended, bringing Him glory and frankly more benefit to yourself. Comments are welcome at 888-888-1717. Let's get to the callers here. Josh, welcome to the program.
Well, my wife and I just wrestled. We're believers, and we just wrestled back and forth about forgiveness. And I have an issue with my sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
That's a Facebook thing, and I know a little bit about Facebook. I don't do Facebook, but I guess he blocked her and did whatever. But she doesn't like my sister-in-law, and so she had it out with her on Facebook. And it's not her first run-in in Facebook. She also had it out with my niece about a year ago, and that trickled down to other family members.
Yeah. Bad idea.
Yeah, and so I can't, like, going back to my sister-in-law, I can't see my brother because it's hard to go see him when his wife's there. And so one time we're traveling by on a long road trip, and I was tired of driving 10 hours, and my brother offered to just pull over and spend the night there, and she didn't let me do that. And then with my niece, I have a great relationship with my sister, so I can't see her because of things that trickle down. I said, well, she said she's forgiven them, but she can't be around them.
So this is your wife.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you can't change the niece and the brother and all these other people.
Right.
But with your wife, it sounds like you're concerned that she has all these unforgiving problems and all these issues with family members. It's a bigger deal to her than it is to you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And you know what? You got way too many can'ts in your life. Can't see my brother, can't see my family, can't do this, can't do that. And then you brought up social media. Something happened, blew up on social media. And let me tell you something. Social media can become anti-social media, where it doesn't build relationships, it damages relationships. And Josh, I've been around a long time. Let me just lay it out for you. I hear your heart. You want to be with your brother. You want the family relationships better. And your wife has got struggle, and you got struggle, and everybody's got struggle. Here's a fact. Sometimes relationships work and sometimes they don't. No matter what you can do or what you try, you sometimes can't get over the hill in a relationship. And the reason is because we don't control other people. The only thing we have control over, and even that is limited, is ourselves. You can't fix your family. Let me give you, we talk about the power of one thing. I want to expand that and give you actually three things that I'd really encourage you, Josh, as you're struggling, because, man, I hear your heart, man. You want a better relationship with your family, brother in particular. The verse that says to us, to the extent possible, live at peace with everyone. That's a powerful verse, and I don't think we preach on that enough. In fact, I don't know if I've heard it in the pulpit in a long time. But to the extent possible, the scripture says, live at peace with everyone. And that puts the responsibility in our own lap, that there are times that we can live at peace. We do everything we can. Sometimes it just doesn't, it's not there. And it's not that we go to war with people, but to the extent possible, man, let's live at peace with people. Number two, I would say to you, listen, you got a brother, you got relationships. I would maintain those relationships. I would tell your wife, honey, I know it's difficult for you, but I'm spending the weekend with my brother, or we're going golfing together, or whatever. In other words, you keep relationships. But here's a key. Because there's so much dysfunction going on in this family, when you're together with those that you're close to, don't gossip about those you're not. Okay? Now, if there's some, hey, maybe we could do something together to help, that's fine. But this gossip thing, man, that is so terribly destructive in life. And so I would really encourage you not to go that direction. All right. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it, man. Let me see. Move up the state here to Michigan. Nikki, welcome to the show. What's your question for me today?
I'm wondering how you don't let financial issues interfere with your marriage.
They are, obviously, right?
Yes, big time right now.
Okay. Is it lack of communication, do you think?
No, I think there's a lot of communication still. It's just a lot of arguing because...
So there isn't good communication. There's communication, but it's not productive. It's not going anywhere.
It's not healthy.
All right. So we have communication. We just don't have productive communication. It sounds like a lot of what's going on in Washington.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know about the rest. I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of Americans like me are thinking, you know, why can't you get some people into a room and say, that's our goal. This is the thing we need to solve, and then we resolve it. And what happens is there's a lot of communication going on, a lot of talking going on, but not a lot of resolving of things going on. And this can permeate in our marriages as well. Would we say, Nikki, that you're not on the same page as far as your goals for your money?
No, I think we're both on the same goal. I just think we're both getting frustrated because we're not hitting that goal fast enough.
So what is the goal?
To get out of debt the way we are right now.
All right, so one of you is thinking that's the goal and you're spending too much and the other doesn't think so?
No, we both think so. I myself just started working again and that's going to help. It's just not helping fast enough.
So what's the argument about?
Just how we're going to get out of the hole that we're in.
Okay, is there blaming going on from the past?
No, not blaming. I think just more guilt. You know, we both feel guilty for us being in the situation that we're in.
Yeah, and I'm a little confused, Nikki, because it sounds like you both recognize there's a problem. You both recognize that you're in trouble and you want to get out of it. You both, that's your goal, you want to do it. But whenever I hear that, and yet I still hear, hey, we're arguing, it's infecting our marriage, it becomes a marriage problem more than a money problem. Because the money problem can be fixed. Like we say, every problem has a solution. You can fix it. I don't know exactly what the fix will be for you, but I do know there's some steps you can take. We teach 10-10-80. In other words, we're going to start right now. Maybe we're going to get rid of credit cards. We're going to change our spending. We're going to get rid of stuff and sell it. There's plans available. Our friends at Crown Financial Ministry, Dave Ramsey, there's others that have good plans, and we do too. Ours is just really straightforward and I think applicable, 10-10-80. But the fact that it's affecting your marriage, it seemed like it could be empowering your marriage to say, we're both sick of this and we want to get out of it and we're going to get out of it together and we got a plan and we're working on it. And yeah, we feel guilty and yeah, we shouldn't have done this, but we love each other and let's go. You're not on the same page for some reason. And so you need a plan. But many times, Nikki, this has been my experience in working with people. Many times when people argue with each other, the argument isn't the real issue. We argue about something to deflect something else. So we argue about money instead of arguing about you're not respecting me, or I'm really ticked off that you did whatever you did in the past, or whatever it may be. But we can argue about this over here because it's safe. I can argue about money because that's sort of abstract. I mean, it's there. It's not a person. It's just there. We am ticked off about the money. But when we talk about our relationship, that's a different thing. And so frankly, sometimes money arguments become the scapegoat for a deeper issue, which could be emotional and relational. And the fact that that's not clear. My encouragement to you guys would be sit down, not only put a plan together, but to say, hey, really, what is it in our marriage that maybe this problem has surfaced that we all need to work on? Okay, let me go to the phones here. We got Ray on the line in Arizona. Hi, Ray.
Hello.
Appreciate your call. What's going on? How can I help?
A hotel, I explained to one of your people there that in 2019 we lost our oldest son.
Oh.
And I lost him to cancer, as it were. And although it's been a few years, I'm still not over it.
Yeah. You're a dad, Ray. You couldn't fix it.
Best.
Yeah. How old was he, Ray?
He was in his 50s by that time.
Okay, so later in life. So you're an older gentleman yourself. You're looking back and you have a son that was in his 50s. You guys were obviously close, weren't you?
Yes.
When you say you're not over it, what are you experiencing?
There are times, you know, when you think about him and you realize there's a whole lot of emotion still involved.
Yeah.
Because we were very close.
Is mom involved too?
Oh, yes.
How is she dealing with this or going through this time?
About the same as me.
Yeah.
Because we both were that close to this boy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're close to all our kids.
Yeah.
But this guy, he was number one.
If you're like me, Ray, you like to fix problems, don't you, as a dad?
Well, you want to make things right for your kid. And I couldn't do anything about this.
That's right. And it's backward. When you see a child who's very ill or passes away, it's backward. We're supposed to do that first, right?
Yeah. Your children are not supposed to leave before you.
That's right.
And I have made it a matter before the Lord.
Did he know Christ?
And I do trust. Oh, yes. I do trust in the Lord to help me get through this.
Yeah.
But I have my moments still. This boy's been gone, I guess, almost 8 years.
Yeah.
7 years. Yeah. It isn't just me. It's like the whole family, because he was the guy.
Yeah.
Like, they're all important. They're all wonderful. But he was the guy.
Yeah. Difficult. What do you find that helps you when you start to experience this grief? What do you do? Do you experience it, or do you try to stuff it, or what?
I always go to meditating with the Lord and count on the day that I will see this child again.
Yes.
And I stand fast in that.
That's our hope, isn't it, Ray? You know, to be absent from the body, the scripture says, is to be present with the Lord. And we have a hope that's unlike the world. And yet I've been around long enough. I don't say to any believer, any Christian, that you shouldn't be grieving the loss of your loved ones. And it may be a while and a long time in that process, because we're all on different pages. And that's not a lack of faith. That's just a human experience. And I've shared with our listeners, Ray, and this is parallel but not the same outcome as yours, but our oldest son, Evan, in his late 40s, just 5 months ago now, almost exactly, was struck down with a neurological disorder out of the blue that paralyzed him within 24 hours. I had lunch with him on Friday and Thursday. Fine, we're talking about the ministry. He's the president of the ministry. We're talking about family and different things, and he wasn't feeling well, had a cold and things, and his body turned on itself. That's really what it is. It was a condition called Guillain-Barré. Some of you have never heard of it. Some of you have experienced it. And the doctor said he had one of the worst cases he'd ever seen. Within 24 hours, he's paralyzed from the neck down. All he can do is open his eyes. And I got to tell you, as a dad, that's about as bad as it gets. I'm standing in the ICU thinking, what can I do? I got to fix this. I'm Randy Carlson. You know, I'm on the air talking to people. We fix problems, right? Come on. And this was not something I could fix. And we didn't know. He didn't know. We just didn't know as a family during the first month, if it was his time or not. Scary time. And one of the things I shared with somebody that now I look back, I shared with one of our pastors, I think, the other day. I look back 5 months from now where Evan he's in the process of recovering. He still has numbness, but he can walk. And here's the deal. He never complained about anything. He's never said a complaint in the word, and I've griped like crazy, right? And I think that's partly the way some of us like to control things. And with our kids, you know, we're supposed to be able to fix things. It's not supposed to happen like this. And what I've had to deal with personally is that fact that we don't control as much as we want, we'd like. And to be able to thank the Lord for what he chooses to do. Because sometimes it goes in the direction you'd like, and sometimes it doesn't. But that doesn't mean that God's still not in that. His timing, his situation is different for each of them. In your case, Ray, you're grieving years later because your son's in heaven. And our story is a little different. But every story is different. But ultimately, as followers of Christ, we come back to, do we trust him or not, you know? And that's not always easy.
How can we love? And because he's like that, he brings peace into our hearts when we are having these moments of grief or sorrow or sadness, whatever it might be, whatever tragedy might befall us. Our God is still there with constant love, and I do appreciate that.
He's there every day, and then sometimes when we don't feel it, we got to be reminded of that, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me one thing about your son that really is a memory that just kind of warms your own heart. Tell me something about him.
Well, he was a marvelous singer, and he was part of our family singing ministry. And he had this 1 year at Fine Arts here in the Phoenix area where he placed a superior first time in his life. And so they gave him the solo with this closing service, and he literally brought the house down.
Mm-hmm.
The way he sang, the way he ministered, we all were just awestruck.
Hey, man. You're experiencing that. You can see that right now, can't you?
It's in my mind and heart, yes.
And I would remind you, maybe when those feelings come, you thank the Lord for those memories and focus on the good ones. Not easy. We love you, Ray. We're praying for you. Been around long enough to know you can't just blow grief away. You gotta deal with it. And it's a process. Some people go through it quicker than others, but it's a part of life process.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you for
Have you ever wondered why you keep struggling with the same thoughts, emotions, and behaviors?
The solution to this thing of living intentionally is knowing God, restoring that relationship with him that was broken in the garden, and then coming out of hiding and being vulnerable.
In Dr. Randy's message titled, God's Original Plan, you'll learn how to intentionally align your thinking, emotions, and actions with God's design so you can experience the life he intended for you. Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. And if you give now, we have a special back-to-school message called Intentional Parenting, filled with practical ways to be a parent. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Sorry about that. Jumping in. Thank you, Kurt. We appreciate your support. I was reflecting and thinking about Ray's call. That was, I think, more therapeutic for me than him, just to process. And I think part of this grief is just recognizing that life is going to have, you know, we're either coming in or going out of something. And I always find that there are defining moments in life, though, seismic shifts. And Ray, you had that when your son passed away, and unexpectedly, and certainly not what you had anticipated or expected. It should have been the other way around in your mind. And that's happened. I think that happened with us and our family this year. It's, to me, have been a seismic shift in my own life, in a positive way, but painful. And sometimes what we do is we get to these moments that are seismic, and we either bury or deny or do dumb stuff to try to stop the process of saying, God, what can I learn and go through in this time? Hey, I just want to say this. We'll get back. I think we have time for a couple more calls. We're a listener-supported ministry. We're part of Family Life Radio, which is under Intentional Life Media. The whole ministry here has one goal. We want to help you realize that your faith matters. We want to provide hope. You hear that on the radio every day, hope in Christ. And then the practical things of, hey, I know Jesus, but I'm still struggling with something. We want to help you think through intentionally what one thing could you do in Christ that'd make the difference in your life today. And so that's our mission and ministry. And this part of it, Intentional Living, is totally listener supported. Every dollar comes in, goes back out to make a difference. And it's close every time, every month. And so I thank those of you who are supporting us. If you're able to share a gift or join us monthly today, we'd appreciate it. 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com, because your gift is impacting someone for Christ today.
Dr. Randy Carlson, I called a couple weeks ago. I had a concern, like, whenever I'm around people, my mind would always say, well, nobody's going to talk to you or nobody's going to sit by you, and this just haunts me. And so, but I just want to thank you for how you've been focusing on the mind and, like, changing my mind and my thinking. I'm really trying really, really hard to think different and just rebuke these negative thoughts. Again, I really appreciate you focusing on the mind, and I'm striving so hard to renew my mind. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Goodbye.
All right, one day at a time, for sure. Rochelle is next. What's your question for me?
Well, there are two things. I'm living at home right now. I'm finishing up school to become a teacher. And so I can't take on a full-time job right now. I can't really support myself. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is that my dad was just diagnosed with ALS.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that's a disease that runs through the body and starts to break it down.
Terrible. Yes.
So my question is, how do I support my parents? How do I not be a hindrance to them with money or living? Or would it be better if I stayed and helped support my mom emotionally and my dad physically?
Well, what do you think? Well, how would you answer that?
Well, I don't know. I've been wrestling with it right now in my head, and I want to support myself. I want to get out there, and I want to have my own apartment and teach and everything, the whole nine yards. But I feel like I'm being selfish, because half of me wants to stay and to soak up what I have left with my dad.
Yeah. Have they talked about how much time or what the prognosis is?
After diagnosis, it's anywhere from 3 to 5 years. Some people live longer, some people don't.
Yeah.
I also have three older sisters who all have families. They have husbands and kids and everything. And I look at them and think, you know what, I'm lucky that I get to stay home and spend this extra time with my dad. But then there's these medical bills, and if they're supporting me, then am I being more of a hindrance than help?
Well, listen, I'm proud of just hearing you, Rochelle. You sound like a very mature, responsible, caring young woman, and your parents should be honored and feel good they've done a good job raising you. But have you had this discussion with them, just to be honest, how they feel about it?
I've pretty much only talked to my mom. We're really open with each other. And sometimes it's harder with my dad, because then it's at face value. You're right there.
Well, it becomes reality.
It's harder to bring it out there.
All right. Do you feel responsible to this, or guilty if you were to stay or move? Like, do you feel guilty no matter what you do?
Yeah, I think I would.
Okay.
Either way, I would either feel regret or guilt.
Yeah. Listen, Rochelle, a couple things. One is, your mind is running on full speed, and the fact that you can't really talk to your dad about this is part of the process, and it's healing for him too. And I don't know your dad, but at some point here, he's probably wanting to talk too. I would. I'd want to talk to my kids, what's going on and how I'm feeling, and I'd want my kids to know what I'd like and what I don't, and what I don't want them to feel obligated and responsible for. And I think maybe there's a little bit of a wall there that needs to be broken down in some honest discussion. And I know it's hard, especially early on in a diagnosis like this, but just a good discussion. Maybe the doctor could help or a counselor could help. Secondly, what I hear from you is an all or nothing, black or white kind of thing. I either stay or I go. And I'm going to feel guilty if I do either. Right? And that is really a limiting thing for you, Rochelle. I would encourage you to open those options up a little bit. And I can think of a third one. There's probably a fourth and a fifth, but maybe you're saying, hey, I'm going to keep my goal. I want to get my degree. I want to be a teacher, but I'm going to adjust my process a little bit. Maybe I'll say instead of doing it in 4 years, I'll do it in five. I'll slow down the number of classes I take. And instead of going across the country to go to school, I'm going to take the first couple of years here with my dad, and maybe I'll go to school here locally or whatever you can do or be closer by. In other words, you're making some changes to your short-term plans to provide more support for your family, but you're not changing your long-term plans to do what you feel God's leading you to do. It's an interesting thing in life. I found this in myself. Sometimes your mind starts running kind of wild with something you're thinking about, and it goes around and around, and then you don't know what to do, and so you think everything is either left or right, up or down, black or white, and you don't have options. And going back to the verse I quoted earlier from Proverbs, hey, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm not going to try to lean on my own limited understanding. I acknowledge your presence. I acknowledge that you're in this with my dad, and I'm hurting because of this, but I know you're in it, and I'm going to ask you to direct my path and bring whatever options need to the table and make it clear what you would have for me. But if I were sitting with you, I'd encourage you to think about that third option. How can I keep moving in that direction and still know that I'm doing the next right thing for my family? Because you sound like the type of person that would really like to do both. And I think you can. It just might take a little longer and some adjustment in your plans. I think we're out of time. Thank you. Jennifer pushes that button and it's kind of like, get out of here. Time's up. We'll be back again next time with more intentional living right here from our center in Tucson. It goes out through our podcast, through our radio programming, through our events and publications. One message: to experience life the way God intended, for His glory and your benefit and the benefit of those you love. And if that resonates in your heart, come on back next time. And if it resonates in your heart to say, I want to be a part of that, you can make it happen with your support at theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media. Have a great day.